Throughout the season of Advent, we have been focusing on the words, fear not. Now, we live in a time where there seems to be so many things for us to fear. Fear of terrorist attacks, fear of church shootings, fear of storms that damage the whole infrastructure of islands, fear of fires that level whole communities, fear of disease and illness, fear of our government, fear of wars and rumors of wars. We live in a time of fear. But as much as this may seem like a really overwhelming time of fear, fear is really not anything new to our world. Fear has always been a part of the human condition. That's why we hear the words, "Do not fear," over and over and over again in our scriptures. And we hear it especially in the stories of Jesus' birth. So throughout this season of Advent, we've been focusing on the messages that the angels have been giving. The message to Joseph, "Do not fear, take Mary as your wife." And the message to Mary that we will hear today, "Do not fear, for the child within you is from the Holy Spirit." And the message that we will hear next week, the message that came to the shepherds, "Do not fear, do not fear." Today we're going to focus on Mary, a young teenager, faced with the overwhelming task of giving birth to the divine, and an even greater task of raising this child. I can't even imagine what it would have been like to have been Mary. A reading from the Gospel of Luke is probably very familiar to you. You've already heard it read this morning. You're going to hear it again. It's a very familiar scripture. The angel Gabriel comes to Mary. But I'm going to ask you to hear it today in a different way. What new thing might God be saying to you today? I want you to think about, if you're a woman, it's probably a little easier, but I want you to think about what it might have felt like to be Mary in this moment. I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 through 38, and since it is the good news of our Lord, I invite you to rise in body or in spirit for its reading. Let's get the right one. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was perplexed by his word and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, your servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word. And then the angel departed from her. The gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. I was 28 years old. Steve and I had been married for 3 years. He had just begun teaching in Westfield, teaching music in Westfield, New Jersey public schools. And I was a music teacher in the Rahway public schools. And we were living in Hightstown, not too far from here, just down the road. And 1 year earlier, Steve and I had decided that we were ready to be parents. That we were mature enough to raise a child and bring life into the world. 1 year, and give or take a few months later, I found out that I was pregnant with my first child. And according to our doctor, the child would be arriving in late April. And we were ecstatic. We were so excited. Well, it was probably around the 5th month when the morning sickness had worn off and I began to feel more strongly the movements of this child growing in me that I really began to think seriously about the future. And truthfully, I moved from excitement to dread and fear. What in the world made me think that I could do this? The child was going to be with me every day for 18 years and more. He's 18 now. What was I thinking? I don't know how to raise a child. I could read the books, but truthfully, I had no idea what I was doing. Now, I didn't tell this to anyone. I didn't dare voice these fears to my husband or to my mother. But one day I remember praying to God, pouring out all my fears. And I asked God, will I be enough? Will I be enough? At some point in our lives, each one of us has had to ask this question. Perhaps it is a new start of a job. Perhaps you are pregnant. I'm sure that Ginger's sitting back there nodding her head as they get ready for their first child. Or perhaps it is a new relationship. Will I be enough for this relationship? Or maybe it's a new ministry or a new endeavor that you feel God has placed on your heart and you keep wondering, will I be enough? You see, when we're faced with the unknown, we question our ability to be able to navigate the journey. And there's a good chance, there's a very good chance that Mary felt the same way. It's hard for us to imagine. Mary was 12, maybe 13. But this was the age that young girls would become engaged to be married. 12 or 13. Do you remember being 12? Do any of you remember being 12? How many of you are 12? Do I have any 12-year-olds here? Yeah, at heart. You see, when you're 12, if you remember, everything changes almost daily when you're 12. We're talking middle school here. You're no longer a child. You finally get to eat off the adult menu. But you're not really an adult, and you're not really even a young adult. You're kind of in this liminal, in-between stage where you're not sure where you're standing, and your emotions are on this roller coaster. I think some of my worst school pictures were when I was 12 years old. It's an awkward, awkward time, and Mary was 12. When the angel appeared to Mary, she was 12. And in one instant, her childhood was over. Done. That one brush with heaven changed it all for her. The angel appeared, and the angel spoke those famous words, "Fear not." He says, "This is what's going to happen, Mary." And then Mary says, "How is that possible?" And the angel says, "Well, nothing is impossible with God." And Mary says, "Okay." Well, that's the Cliff Note version, or the Spark Notes version. But it's very quick. I mean, it happens really, really quick in the scripture. And I have to wonder that even when Mary gives herself over, that there wasn't some emotion of fear, some ambivalence on the part of Mary. What am I going to say to Joseph? What am I going to say to Joseph? He's not going to believe me. And what about our families? How are they going to accept this? We are going to be kicked out by the community. The community is not going to accept this. And when the child comes, how in the world am I going to raise this child? I am basically a child myself. And this is God's son. Will I be enough? I've thought a lot about this question. The question, I've thought about it from my own perspective, and then I've thought about it from Mary's perspective, and I think the answer to the question, will I be enough, is no. No, the truth is I am not enough. My two boys are amazing young men. They're not perfect, but I think they're pretty good young men. But they're not pretty good young men because of everything I am. They had a father that loved them. I am so blessed that they had grandparents that impacted their lives. They had teachers who encouraged and nurtured them. They had Sunday school teachers. They had pastors along the way. They had youth leaders that took them on mission trips. They had Sunday school teachers. They had congregations that surrounded them in love. They are who they are, not because I had everything, but because God provided all the people necessary to nurture them in the faith. Was Mary enough? No, Mary wasn't enough. Scripture tells us that immediately after the visit with the angel, Mary left. She left to visit her cousin Elizabeth, who was with child, and she went because she knew she couldn't do it alone. She went to Elizabeth because she needed the support of a cousin that would walk alongside her because she knew this was going to be really hard. She needed someone to listen to her fears and her joy. And it was only after her visit to Elizabeth that Mary's ready to fully accept the journey ahead. You see, if she was ever going to do this, Mary needed the support of others. She needed Joseph to walk beside her. She needed the companionship. As she watched her son carry the cross to Calvary, she didn't walk alone. Scripture tells us she was with her sisters. She needed others in order to walk this journey. Mary could not, and she did not, walk the journey alone. God gave her all she needed for the journey, which is why Mary's able to give herself freely. I think she comes to the point where she knows that she isn't going to be enough, but that God is going to give her all that she needs. And so she submits with these words, "Let it be according to your plan." So I wonder if we could be like Mary. Imagine if we could be like Mary, trusting that even if we don't have everything that we need for the journey, that we trust that God is going to give us everything we need. Can we trust that? Even when the path ahead looks too difficult, that God is going to give us all we need. In a few moments, I have the great honor of sharing in my first baptism here at UMC at New Brunswick. And as we welcome this beloved child of God, who's sitting there so peacefully right now, Rosemary, Jenna, we are going to lift up and talk about not only that God's grace is working in and through Rosemary, Jenna, but we are going to promise to be there for Rosemary and for her family. We are going to provide Sunday school classes. We are going to provide youth groups and mission trips and dance groups. We are going to have pageants where she will get the chance to be an angel of the Lord. I told them that my first child that I baptized in Pearl River was an angel of the Lord in their pageant this year. And it was just such a gift to see all those young people that I baptized. But Rosemary is going to get to be in a pageant someday. And there are all these wonderful ways that she's going to learn about the love of Jesus, because we are going to surround her as her family. And we're going to support her parents as they seek to raise her in a godly way. That's what we're going to promise today. We're going to promise today, as we welcome Rosemary into this faith family, that we will be there for her, and that her family does not walk alone. You see, faith isn't a solitary journey. It wasn't a solitary journey for Mary, and it wasn't for us. We need one another. Alone, we are not enough. And I'm going to say it again. When we stand alone, we are not enough. Which is why God gives us each other. It's why we come to churches. Why we are a part of a faith community. Why we come here. Because we say, I need you, and you need me if we're going to survive. We are all a part of God's story, so fear not. This is the good news today. The good news that no matter where we walk, no matter what we might be walking through, if we are following God's will for our lives, God will give us the resources, the people to walk alongside us. And we are not alone. Amen. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, yes. Lord, sometimes we cry out. We become overwhelmed by the fears in the world around us, but you remind us over and over again in Scripture that we do not need to fear, that you walk with us. And so just as Mary walked into a time of unknown, Lord, we come this morning needing your Holy Spirit working in and through us, needing your Holy Spirit to work in and through this faith community, that we might walk alongside one another into this new year, and that you might fill us with your peace and your joy and your love. Amen. So I'd like to invite the family of Rosemary, Jenna, as we sing our next hymn. We're going to stand together and sing Away in a Manger.